I never thought of commission at that time. We were we were so early in the business.
Do you now?
Now I do. Okay, you know, now I've switched to full on business development and account.
And as I can, I think of commission all day long, unfortunately.
Welcome to the Lighthouse Conversations, a podcast featuring entrepreneurs and tastemakers from the world of arts, culture, tech, and food. I'm your host, Hesham Montasser. If you're joining us for the first time today, hit the follow button in your podcast player to get alerted when we have a new episode. If you're using Apple Podcasts, for example, it's the plus sign in the top right corner. You can listen to our extensive catalog of previous episodes in your podcast app or on our website, thelighthouse.ae/podcast. I'm joined today by Dr. Hamad Al-Awar, who wears many hats and juggles many balls in the air. Without them falling, I might add. Hamad has studied computer animation at university and went on to do a PhD in computer vision-based biometrics. And his day job involves working for the Dubai Police, where he's currently head of video forensics. On top of that, he's the co-founder of one of the UAE's most beloved burger brands and my son's favorite, High Joint. He also consults for other restaurants, which is incidentally how I wind up meeting him, at his friend's new shawarma spot in Barsha, Mitsumami. On a side note, Mitsumami's shawarma was really fantastic, and both my kids gave it 2 thumbs up. Hamad was fascinating to talk to because he brings so many different facets to the conversation. His love for technology and AI, his obsession with food, the fantastic journey of High Joint, their expansion plans for 2024 and beyond, and how he juggles all of these different roles, yet continues to maintain a very high level of interest and enthusiasm in each one of them. I found Hamad extremely curious, very passionate, and in many ways I found our conversation uplifting and highly infectious. Enjoy my conversation with Dr. Hamad Al-Awar. I had all these questions that are now been thrown out by Hamad's story that I couldn't find online. I thought I'd done my research. It's always like that. You know, I come up with ideas and then I actually come to it.
It will be interesting to know, what do you know about me so far? Because sometimes I interview people in Dubai Police. Yesterday, I interviewed someone in Dubai Police for a job as a designer, motion graphics. And then he comes to me and then he says, this and that. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, I've done this Instagram account, free social, I don't know what. And I showcased your restaurant there. And I'm looking at him. I'm wearing a police uniform and we have like 3 people. So he did a thorough research. I guess he found my name and High Joint popped up.
Hamad, welcome, first of all. So happy to have you. You are a relatively new acquaintance of mine. I feel I already know quite a lot and I have a lot of questions. So don't mind me if I meander and go a bit all over the place.
That's fine.
You have a very interesting story. Yeah, and we'll start with why you and I met, which is because you've co-founded a restaurant business, High Joint, which has become very successful. We'll go into a lot into that. But you also work for the police force, so you have a day job that's not being owner of a restaurant.
True.
You also have a PhD in something unrelated to both of these things, which is in graphic and animation, right? Graphics and animation.
Yeah.
We'll go into this a little bit. And you have 4 children and a life like everyone else. So the first question is, how do you keep it all together?
I keep getting asked that question. And I always think nothing happens overnight, you know. So these responsibilities didn't suddenly come and I'd say, I want to do all of those together. They kind of creep on you slowly. And if someone says to me personally, if you asked Hamad 3-4 years ago, I'd be like, any successful person should be spending a lot of time and overworking, you know. But I've reached, I think, right now to an understanding, and I think a lot of people do, is that when you do have that much on your plate, you would have to sacrifice something. You know?
Akid.
It's either time with family.
Something gives.
Health.
Something,
you know?
Gives.
I think I came to that realization about 2 years ago. And then that's where you try to set your priorities. But I guess not only me, but a lot of Emiratis and even those of us that work in the government. And I won't say the pressure, but the kind of the vision that the country has.
It's very ambitious.
Sometimes, yeah, the ambition, I always say the ambition of the leadership here kind of disseminates down all the way to the
individuals.
Individuals and even the smallest of jobs, you know? So that ambition and that drive and that energy keeps us pushing to kind of excel in anything we do. So I was working in the, I still work in the government, and we try, and I try on every single day to excel, excel in whatever I'm doing. But even when I opened a restaurant, and I think this is where it goes back to when I, what my father has kind of, it's a seed he has put in me and my brothers and sister. The first restaurant, the branch, High Joint, is in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if you've visited that.
Come on, I've visited.
That's the OG.
My son is obsessed with it.
That branch specifically that has a different...
But that particular... Okay, and for me, it's the OG. And yeah. For me, I love it. Yeah, in fact, whenever we want to go to High Joint, unless I'm ordering, I think you have a Motor City branch, right?
We do.
So we live Motor in Barsha, City. So we order from there.
Yeah, it comes from there.
But see, if we're going physically, it's going to Manara, behind the mosque. I mean, I think that's sort of the...
It's very different. And I think when we did that in the first time, it was nobody had anything similar to it in the sense of how raw it was.
It's fantastic. And you have the guy that sells the bread next to you.
And that's another story. We did something once very early on when we had space and we had only one branch. And you know, when you have one branch, creativity is usually at its highest.
Tell me about
once you have more and it becomes more operational.
Tell me about it.
But I think talking about that baker, we wanted to do something with him. So I saw one of his most selling sandwiches is the bread he makes freshly baked with jimin and chips Oman inside. And I said, can you do one? And I saw how he did it. He would kind of roll the dough, open it up, put some cheese, chips Oman, and then put it in the oven. I'm like, can I put my own ingredients? He's like, okay. And we have a very good relationship. Wherever we go, we always concentrate that whoever our neighbors are, we have a good relationship.
Makes sense.
You know, we feed them from our burgers.
Come on, it's a community.
We try to help them out if needed. I mean, I remember this baker, before High Joint existed there, he had no Google reviews. Now if you go, he has a lot of Google reviews.
And it adds to the authenticity of the whole experience, I think, especially I think for tourists and people who were Westerners and so on that come, because it feels like, you know, you're getting this experience that's different.
True. You know, I think
in the middle of the way.
I think for us in our childhood in the UAE, we're always used to these strip of shops next to a mosque, and they always compromise a grocery shop, a barber shop, a laundry sometimes, and a baker, Afghani, Iranian. So, I mean, to us, having a burger brand there was something, for me, was very interesting. And I still remember the journey when we first got the shop. I mean, I love food, whether it's the creation process or the eating part as well, and discovery of food from different chefs, different places around the world. And so when two of my friends, my partners, when they came, I was with them in a military boot camp before, so I know them, you know. I know how they are in their worst and best conditions. And they came to me in 2018 and said, Hamad, we have a shop. It's a cafeteria, and we don't know what to do with it. And you used to, I still remember in my days at the police academy, when we get bored in one of the classes, I'd start drawing, like, sandwiches and burgers and the layers and what different things to put. So they're like,
that's great.
I think you had knowledge about food. What can we do? I'm like, what are you guys thinking? I didn't even see the location yet. And they said, we're thinking of making it a Japanese bakery. I'm like, send me the location. Let me see what the place is. I have no business background or F&B background for that.
Yeah.
So I drove to the location. And if you've been to High Joint Manara before, when you drive, it's you have to make a U-turn, and then turn right, and then you try to look for the restaurant, and there's a big Diwa box and
covering
the place.
I love it.
But to be honest, anyone who I asked at that moment in the F&B market would say, location, 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 and this location is horrible. Like, okay. But even before asking people, when I looked at that, I was like, a Japanese bakery would be somewhere where people want to sit down, relax, more of a coffee shop vibe. And I told them, I told Mohammed and Rashid, my partners, I don't think this is a location for a bakery. They're like, what should we do? This was in 2018. I said, I think we should, Dubai does not have a good sandwich shop. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, create fresh created bread, different fillings, change the menu every while with new specials and have our basic sandwiches. And I think I got that idea from when I lived in Yorkshire and a city called Bradford. And I think one of the best sandwich shops I've ever had is in a place called Creative Bread. It's in Bradford in a place called Keighley. It's north, about 4 hours from London, for those who know London. And this sandwich shop was a 3 meter by 3 meter kitchen restaurant. It was located inside a health store that sells vitamin and organic groceries. And what's very weird, now when I think of it, as someone who's involved in F&B, their menu changes every single day. As a customer, that's exciting. But as someone running, I think it's a nightmare.
It's an operational nightmare, yeah.
That's why they never continued. It just lasted for a year and a half.
I think you know this by now. Sorry about that. All these cute ideas are great until you start your own restaurant business. And you are like, you look at certain ones that are opening and they tell you. And I'm like, you know, guys, that's a lovely idea. It will not last like a week. You know, because the operations catch up with you. Exactly. I think that is an issue. And hence, the best and most creative ideas many times don't survive.
Yeah.
You have to be creative enough and then streamlined enough to survive, optimize it. And this is the difficulty. So you guys decided to then go to the burger business, which frankly, I mean, it's not an easy business to start, right? You knew you had both. You don't have as much local competition, but a lot of franchising competition. What I found very interesting about what you've done, and you have, we'll talk about this in a minute, you have, I think, presence in Riyadh. Saudi always had their local chicken and burger brands that are very successful. And the UAE didn't, historically. And you used to go to kind of the imported franchises. The franchises. Five Guys and this and that. And
Shake Shacks.
Shake Shacks, Mazboot. But they are everywhere. And part of it's convenience. Was it naivete? Was it ignorance? Was it Hamas? Yani, that made you guys go for that particular segment?
Do you know, I was trying to avoid, when they came to me, I wanted to avoid saying burgers. I said burgers, and we live in Jumeirah, and every other
corner
stop is a burger shop. That wasn't too, we can see it everywhere. And every 3-4 months, you get a new American franchise or European franchise that came in during that time. And when I told them a sandwich shop, they said, what do you mean? And I said the word bao. And I used to fall in love with bao at that stage in life. And they're like, what is bao? And my partners are more than 10 years younger than me. So I took them to a place to try bao. And they told me, Hamad, what is this uncooked bread? So, and they're like, no, we don't think we want to do this. I'm like, burgers? I said burgers just like that. They're like, yes, we should do burgers. And at that moment, I said, the burger market is very saturated. But I knew, based on my travels, and I would say, in my home library, as many books as I have in the fields of 3D, animation, visual effects, sciences, AI, I have as many books in food and a lot of them in burgers and sandwiches. So I've done my own research and kind of working with burgers for over 10 to 15 years before opening High Joint. And I knew there wasn't a burger that hit that spot that I had in mind.
Mazboot.
But then when I looked at the numbers and the business part, the business side of the burger market, I discovered the burger market is super huge. And
it is super huge.
Super huge. So even if it's saturated, there's still more space. And then to me,
the key is differentiation.
Exactly.
And how do you differentiate? And how do you first pop? And once you've popped today, your problem is different. And we'll talk about this.
Yeah, no.
But it's an easier, not an easier problem, but it's a scaling issue now.
Yeah.
But at the time, how do you pop? I find that was very, very difficult.
I think for me, I was looking at myself as a, as what would I be looking for, you know? So based on me living abroad, I realized there's something that we don't have here, first of all, which is kind of the chance of getting up and close with the staff, not your usual kind of service where you would sit on the bar, talk to the chef would cook and serve you. I've gone to many places, let's say in France, in the US, and in different
places. Yeah, behind the tab, you don't see them.
There's only 3-4 staff.
Yeah. And you're handed usually a burger and you sit somewhere completely far away from them.
Exactly. But then it's nice sometimes. And then they had 2 or 3 staff, while here sometimes you have more. But there you get up close and personal with them. So if you go to Manara, you realize that the kitchen is so small. And in the beginning, we had, the beginning, the idea was for it to be kind of a delivery base, not more than that, you know? And I remember we had no seating areas. What is a bar now for about 7 people in Manara used to have glass all the way up. And we removed that glass 3 weeks into operation because it wasn't practical. But that kind of vibe, that's very honest.
And how much is a dine-in versus delivery? I would imagine delivery is the bulk.
It depends on what year is it. So I think...
COVID is a very special...
I'm saying pre-corona, when we had only Manara, our delivery was around 7% only.
Only 7%.
The rest was dine-in and takeaway. Which when I think of it, was fantastic. Now looking at the business.
That's unbelievable.
And that's where the danger was when Corona was kind of, the news was spreading around end of December, January. I told my partners, I think it's very dangerous. They're like, why? And I'm like, when I look at the numbers and I see that 7% is delivery only, I'm worried. And they're like, why are you worried? And I'm like, I have a feeling based on whether you choose to believe Corona or not. The characteristics of this virus means there's no way to stop it. And it's going to spread and we will face a lockdown sooner or later. Like, no, Hamel, I don't think so. I'm like, and there will not be a house that does not have Corona in it. Someone you know has had Corona or yourself. No, Hamel, you're exaggerating. I'm like, we should be prepared. So what we did back then is when chat food was starting to get reaction. I mean, before Corona, we started to set up that menu with chat food. I started to sign up with many third-party delivery bikes because with Deliveroo and the other companies...
commission was very high.
I never thought of commission at that time. We were so early in the business.
Do you now?
I do. Okay, you know? Now I've switched to full-on business development and account.
I think of commission all day long, unfortunately.
Now I do. But before, you know, when you enter this business by passion, there's a lot of stuff that you forget to do. For example, we had no accountant for 3 years. So when we got to a stage, we were scaling, you know, without accountants, without any financial visibility, it's like flying a Boeing 777 into New York at a very low, you don't know if you're going to crash or something, you know? So we didn't have that. And then I still remember, to be very honest, so that you can keep this on camera, with one of the aggregators, the commission was high. And I told them, like around February, I'm like, your commission is high. They're like, but we've given you a special rate. And I'm like, I understand. But at that time, we had won awards with Time Out. I'm like, we're Dubai's number one burger. And I think we need a better commission so that we can make money once lockdown happens. And they're like, this is all we can offer. I'm like, if you don't change that, I'm going to pull out High Joint from that aggregator's list. They told me, please be our guest. Next day, they removed us. They removed us from this aggregator's list. And then we discovered we might fail if we do this. And I told them, okay, please put us back. Actually, just to keep my pride, I let one of my partners talk to them.
Call them
and tell them my partner is a lunatic. Yeah. Don't listen to him and put us back. And they did put us back. And then I realized, you know, when we were only one branch, when they look at us, they don't look at us as a brand. How good is the food? They look at how much money you're making for them at the end, you know? So we prepared everything. And I tried to find one third-party bike, you know, operator that would agree on taking food from this Manara branch to anywhere in Dubai. So I'm looking at Dubai's map. I'm looking all the way to Jebel Ali and Al-Uwir and Khawanij. And one of the companies, I think it was a very wrong decision by them to say, yes, we will deliver it anywhere you want. And I signed with them.
They're bankrupt now, I'm sure.
They're not here anymore.
Yeah, but stop together. Yeah, exactly.
And
And that, by the way, that last mile delivery is the worst business in the world.
I think.
Yani, it makes our business, the restaurant business, be a fantastic business. It's a terrible business. The economics are impossible.
I think a lot of them have left delivering for restaurants.
Yeah,
they switched to other means, you know. And so we did. And then when Corona happened, and I remember our sales hit so low, and my partner said, Hamad, it's dangerous. What should we do? We should fire people. I'm like, we're not going to fire people. It was so hard to get the right chemistry of people. And I believe when people are scared and companies close and decide to scale down, that's the best opportunity to grow. So we should take this opportunity, and we will not fire anyone. We will not lower salaries, but we did put people through, you know, forced leaves. And but the sales went down in the first week by 90%. We were making barely any money in the beginning. And then we were not dependent on delivery that much. But I think what helped us a lot is that our social media part of HiJoint was very organic. And from very early on, I did not hire any
agencies.
I didn't hire any agencies. For one reason is that when I look at it, and based on my art and design background, they all look the same. Ah. So it's like a fixed formula where they create the same things for everybody. So ours, and we intentionally made it raw. And any pictures we would take, that was in 2018, would be using a mobile with bad lighting. I always insisted to photographers.
Like this. Sorry, Chuck, I couldn't help it. I mean, yeah. Anyway, well, one
this
day.
Is, this is more decent than what we
have. Well, good to know. And good to know.
I'll tell you a piece of information.
Yeah.
The budget we started HiJoint with was so low that the only reason we started operating on October 10th, 2018, is because we ran out of money. We still didn't take pictures of anything. We didn't do any branding in our packaging. Our account was zero. So even the head chef I hired, which, long story, if you see that location, any chef I got on the team, I knew how to make burgers. But I needed someone to understand how to create the process and run the kitchen. I've never run a kitchen before. And
also, you have a day job. You exactly. could not in the not morning to cook, show up and say, you had to leave at some point.
Exactly. But I mean, yeah. And then when I get any chef, and we were building the place, and they listen of the vision, we want to be the best, one of the best burgers. I hate the word best anything in Dubai, because that kind of, for me, if you ask Hamad, what's your favorite burger in Dubai? I'll tell you, it depends on my mood, time of day, who I'm with. So it changes. I only say there are good burgers and there are okay ones. So for me, we want it to be one of the best burgers in Dubai. And when I tell any chef, they get excited and I talk about it with passion. And once I show them the location, they usually never call back and they disappear the second day. Only this guy called Patrick, I always say he's one of the guys that keeps his word, you know. And he tells me 2 years later after we win all the awards, he's like, boss, I'm like, what? Like, you know, when I told you, yes, I'll join, and then you showed me the shop, I was like, I probably made the worst decision in my life, because he was working on a very stable job, 2 months off a year, paid bonuses, and he came to a place where I told him within the first 2 weeks when we opened, Patrick, I don't have a salary for you. Whatever money we make here is going to be paid to you. So we opened because of that. We had no money for photographers. So my partner said, what should we do? I'm like, and then we get approached by random influencers that want to charge us 5,000, 10,000 dirhams. Till this very day, we haven't paid any influencer for HiJoint. And I remember I said, we'll do something else. I'm going to approach people who have 2,000 to 15,000 followers. And now they're called micro influencers. At once upon a time, I think in 2020, 2021, it was the rage of these companies that send you micro influencers.
I have 30,000 followers. I'm more of a macro influencer. If you want to hire me for a small fee, I'm ready. Yani, I'm definitely ready to macro influence your
brand.
That's
amazing. But you know what we did? I said, if you approach those who have 2,000 to 10,000 followers, they'd be delighted to come and try something.
So.
And we only chose those who have good pictures. And I think our marketing strategy was driven by what we can afford more than, you know, whatever budget we can throw in it and make it work. So it started to become a customer-driven social media platform where it was about people posting and us reposting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we grew totally organic. We did not spend any ads.
It's the
money.
Best way to grow. It's user-generated. But also, remember, the not having a big budget forces you to make choices.
Yeah.
And one of my criticisms of some of the startups that you see, less so in food, to be honest, and technology and so on and so forth, that you and I probably follow and see.
Yeah.
When we come to the Middle East, especially in the Gulf, and sometimes the government are looking to help them, support them. And when I'm asked about this, because I invest in early stage tech startups, I also tell them, you know, fund them, but don't overfund them, because it forces them to make decisions that are painful, and that's part of the growing up. Yani, if not, if I give you today, write you a check for $1 million day one and tell you, Hamad, good luck, start your brand, you're going to hire a marketer, you're going to hire a chef, you're going to hire... Fenta, you were forced to, you and your partners, to make these decisions. And I think, honestly, it's probably, I mean, you tell me, a very big reason why you survived these early days and why the brand thrived. You had to be lean.
A big part of, you know, when we looked at why should we open a burger, the market is big. And the aim was just to take a small slice of it. And the idea was we knew what we wanted. We wanted to have very high quality burgers. And to be honest, at that, in 2018, there was no burger brands in Dubai actually doing any beef patties from prime cuts.
Yes.
Everybody, even one of the biggest local brands that still exist here, and they have good burgers. They were using...
No, I need to find out which
They
one.
Were using frozen, you know, those big sausage frozen stuff.
Yeah.
They were using Wagyu, but they were using that because some of the suppliers came to us. They're like, they use that, you should use. I'm like, no. I've been cutting my own meats for the last 10 years and mincing them at home. I want to... And when I went to some butchery places, a lot of them said, we're not going to do this for your small consumption. Until one place agreed, and they're like, why do you want to do this? We have ready-made burger patties. And I'm like, no. We need this cuts and all of that. So we knew that we wanted high-quality food. So to make it survive, we needed to have low rent. We needed to hire people. We hired people not based on their experiences, but based on their personalities, to be honest.
It makes sense, actually.
Yeah, so that's how we were running lean.
When I ask you, Hamad, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, I'm sure, a lot of ingredients that come into the success that HiJoint became. But what do you think was the key differentiator in, as you said, a very busy market? Now, I agree with you that I think the quality in the market is very variable. There's good, there's bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
But still, what do you feel today, in retrospect, is the key differentiator? Was it the quality of the meat? Was it the vibe of the place? Was it that it was so user-generating and authentic, which is very, very important to someone like me?
Yeah.
Because I have my own homegrown brand. That is, frankly, was one of the biggest appeal. Yeah. My son just said it's the best burger in town. We have to go. All my friends go there.
Yeah.
Anna, when I went to Manara the first time, many years back, the vibe is what got me to go back even without my children.
Nice.
But so what is your, in your mind, what is the key ingredient?
To be very honest, 2015 to 2018 was one of the best times to start a homegrown F&B business because there was not much homegrown competition. Now I think it's multiple times harder.
Yes.
The whole market now has a lot of homegrown.
The whole market has a lot of everything.
Yeah, everything. At that time, no, there wasn't much. I think it was three things, to be very honest. The quality and the flavors that were introduced.
Okay, so the quality of the produce.
Number two is, I think, how authentic a lot of people felt it was. It wasn't, maybe people cannot say, oh, it's because it's not designed by an agency or a graphic. It was just pure what it was.
It was heart.
Yeah. And then number three, I always tell people when they ask me, we're going to start a restaurant. I was like, if the owner or the person running the business is not there on a daily basis, connecting with people, connecting on social media with people, does not understand his brand, this whole networking, not only with media or social media influencers or the actual customers, I don't think it will survive. So those, I think those three components helped a lot, you know?
I buy that. Now,
and I think till this very day, HiJoint has never hired a company to run our social media.
No, it shows. It shows. But now there are other homegrown concepts, as you know, and some of them in the burger space as well. And some of your, let's call them competitors, have scaled massively. Now, whether that's they did the right way or the wrong way, that's a very different conversation.
Yeah.
But they have hyperscaled. You have grown, but you have not scaled in the same way. Yeah, and you have not gone out. I don't see you in every corner. You have how many locations in Dubai? Three?
We have, although I check them on a daily basis, we have Emirates Towers, Motor City, Khawanij, Manara, That's four, and we have two cloud kitchens and Riyadh. Yeah,
and Riyadh, you have one location, Riyadh.
We have a truck, and we have a cloud kitchen as well.
Cloud kitchen. Yeah. So, you know, what prompted? Because you've had a lot of success, and especially amongst foodies, you have a huge amount of following that some of the others, including your local competitors, don't have. They might be more known as a brand because they're everywhere.
Yeah,
but I feel all the foodie friends that I have, from my son's age 12 all the way to my age 22, are looking at or go to High Joint. Why didn't you decide at some point to say, you know what, let us go raise capital? Khalas, we've built a name, whether friends or family or Hattam outside, and I'm going to have High Joint in 30 locations.
I cannot say we did not do that.
Okay.
Or we are not doing that at the moment.
Okay, so you are considering it.
No, we were already walking in that path. So okay. The whole idea when we started is me and my partners, till this very day, we did not take a single penny from High Joint. And I told
self-funded, fully.
And I told them the money we put in the beginning, whatever profits, if it comes,
to grow,
goes back to the business.
Yeah.
And I think around 20, because our growth in regards to sales and revenues was doubling in 2022. And in 2021, we started to create our base team and open an office. So our offices, we do have an office. And we have a base team, a marketing team. We have, in the beginning, we had none of that. So in 2021, we decided to scale up. And that was when we went to Saudi Arabia.
Do you know the market there? That's a tough market to go into. Huh?
We did not go with any partners, by the way.
Well, that's what I'm Yani.
We had a lot of opportunities, but what I did,
sure you do.
But what I did, exactly what I did in High Joint Dubai is, if I don't understand as an owner the business there, it will be hard to choose the right partner to know if the decision is good or not. So even when we operated in Saudi Arabia, I was actually flying there on a weekly to bi-weekly basis, and I have a full-time job here as well, so I can't suddenly just disappear. So it was actually flying out at 5 a.m. in the morning from Dubai on the flight to Riyadh. And I would spend a whole day there and fly back at 10 p.m. and reach Dubai at 1 a.m. and go to work the second day. And we ran our own social media there. We hired the guy, Saudi, to understand it. We did a lot of market research when it comes down to food, taste, prices, and how do they work with social media. And we learned a lot. We had a certain strategy in Saudi Arabia we were trying to hit. But of course, there are challenges when you don't have a Saudi partner in Saudi Arabia. It is a great market. But I think what's going to happen with High Joint in the next, I'll say, couple of months, not only couple of years, you'll probably see High Joint in a lot of more corners than you're used to.
Okay.
But I think we've always tried to strike the balance and avoid the whole idea, oh, this place has a lot of branches, the food quality went down. So we've never made a sacrifice in taste, even though when prices went up like crazy, and probably you've seen it in 2021, 2020.
Meat prices, of course.
One of the key, so we use USDA Prime in our burgers, and that's the highest quality American beef you can get. And we use ribeye, one of the most expensive cuts. And I still remember early on when we started, it was under 100 dirhams per kilo. And there was a certain time during COVID where it was 200 something dirhams per kilo. And that kind of killed us.
Your food costs go through the roof.
So we started to cut all the middlemen. That's the only way for us to lower food costs and find ways of cooking and measuring and becoming very, 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 very lean in your operations with low wastage, just to keep on not sacrificing food quality. But we kept it. And I think when we started to look at the organic growth of a company, if you want to scale up big, you cannot depend, to be very honest, on only the profit that comes. You have to 100%, raise funds.
100%.
And in 2021, when we decided to raise funds, as I told you, 3 years, no accountant. So to rebuild all that credible reports and build and have the company audited took a lot of time. For us to learn about it, for us to hire the right base. And I think I can say High Joint now is at a stage where it is mature and it has the right teams. And we've been mingling with investors in the last year and a half.
I like the word mingling.
It is. I think it is about that. It's not just a pure, you know, contract and signing. You know? You'll be seeing them. You'll be working with them. Yes, you need to understand them. You know? And my brother Saeed, so I'm the eldest. Saeed comes right after me, 2 years. He works in the private sector, and he heads Rothschild here in the UAE, and he's a partner with them internationally. And he's kind of my business, finance, go-to guy, And he kind of guided us throughout all that, and he helped introduce me to a lot of investors in Saudi Arabia and the UAE. And I think we've reached to a point where, moving forward, do expect to see... I mean, that was always our goal, you know, when we first started. A lot of our competitors that are in every corner started with much bigger budgets than we ever had.
Yes.
I'll be very honest.
I know.
We started with only 300,000 dirhams. Not a single penny added.
It shows. And I know also your competitors and everybody knows. And I have a question because I can relate to a lot of the things you said. Yeah. This brand here, the Lighthouse Downstairs, was also self-funded by me and my co-founder. And when we got to a certain metric of growth, we started getting some outside capital. So we started mingling, to use your word, with some to grow. And the business now, very similar to yours, has gone from the early stages to a slightly larger business, multiple locations, more process-oriented, and so on. And I go back and forth, and you've said this earlier, if I just want to hear your opinion on this. On the days when you were in one location, creativity was flowing, it was very easy to make changes. If I'd come in the morning and say, I don't like this, by the afternoon it's done. Now, very different story, right? And there are days when I'm like, you know, that's the price you pay for growing, and we're not massive, and we have 5 locations. But we're also looking to grow more and so on. And there are days when I say, you know, I'm not sure I enjoy this. Yeah, it's a very different part of your brain and a very different also set of qualities needed when you have a much larger team. But how do you feel about this? I'm just curious because I go back and forth.
I think based on whatever I've done in my life, career-wise in the government or in... when I was in animation or F&B, I enjoy the creation process.
Yes.
I enjoy that.
عشان كده بسأل.
Yeah, I mean, I love
it. Because you're now moving a little bit more. I mean, there's still creation, but really in the scaling, it becomes, I felt it. We have a director of ops now that does the heavy lifting. It's a process-driven thing. His job is to execute. It's not necessarily sit in the morning and say, you know what,
what can we do differently? No, he just wants
to... In fact, I have to curtail now my own creative interests because I don't want to distract them as well from their main mission. But do you think that that puts you in a position where you say, you know what, now there's a team, they run with it, I maybe start a second brand or...
I mean, I think even now with HiJoint, when we decided to scale up...
Now moving.
If you are a successful business and you prove to be profitable, finding money is the easiest thing. And for me, when we mingled, as I said, with investors, it wasn't about finding money. It was about finding the right partner.
Yes.
With the right experience of scaling in F&B. So we chose to really talk and be in line with only F&B operators in the region. And that's the direction we chose to. Because you want to, I mean, you need, for me, as Hamad Alawar, the last 2 years, I said, I need to learn the proper operation method of running a business. Understand finance, budgeting, understand raising funds, understand all of those aspects that maybe were not very solid. And I spent 2 years learning that and building that in HiJoint, even though if I don't enjoy it, you know, but it's a must. And I've learned that. But then I think we need to concentrate also on what we excel in to become better. So that's why we were looking for a partner with HiJoint who has experience in scaling up so that we can scale up while I am still involved in it, as well as concentrating on the core of what makes HiJoint HiJoint in regards to the creativity and the food quality. So I still enjoy those aspects and I still go to those things when I, let's say, consult for other things. And I think that's where we met. We met in Mitsumama.
Yes.
And Mitsumama.
I thought it was yours, but you came and then you told me it's just some of your friends and you're helping them.
Yeah. So I was...
Which is amazing.
I came to them to consult. And my problem with me is if I like something, I do more than required.
It was obvious.
And more than what's paid to me to do. You know? And that's... So we, even in regards to Mitsumami, it's about the creation of something new in the shawarma. I think burgers in Dubai. I've went to a lot of places around the world. I think Dubai has one of the strongest burger markets in the whole world. Taste-wise, quality-wise, everything. I just went to New York. I went everywhere. I think shawarma... We haven't had that revolution yet here in Dubai.
And there are so many varieties of shawarma as well. I mean,
exactly.
You know, it's very tricky, right? And you have the kind of from the Turkish doner to the kind of Syrian Lebanese cut. The Egyptian is slightly different. But I'm with you. Shawarma.
And I think
shawarma.
We don't have a Dubai version yet, you know?
No, we don't.
Everybody's brought what they had. I mean, this is what happened in Mexico. You had Arabs or especially Lebanese, who moved to Mexico. They learned the technique of shawarmas and they made el pastor. So we haven't had something that kind of Dubai's past.
Yalla.
Past into that, and that's what we're looking at.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
From your cafeteria shawarmas that sometimes just put a lot of dakus and hot sauce on it and sauces to the more, the Syrian type, the, as you said, you know, the Turkish doner and the, let's even say the Greek gyros and all of them. Yeah. They're all different versions of the same concept.
What drives all this curiosity? Yani, you have a day job, which, you know, there's a lot going on there. So it's not like you show up to an office in the morning where you sit behind the computer and sort of punch a few numbers and then come do what you really want to do in the afternoon. I mean, it's a demanding day job.
Yeah.
You have obviously your interest from what you've studied before, including animation, AI, which is a huge field. I'm also very interested in that. How can we not be? I mean, it might change the world. And then you have also...
It has changed the world.
It has changed the world in many ways. I mean, I was coming here listening to a podcast with the CEO of NVIDIA. When you look at what they've done, I mean, it's incredible. Will probably become the most important company, the Apple of this generation, you know? So anyway, that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
And then you have HiJoint and your creation process and the F&B. Is it that you wake up saying, you know, I have to do all of the... And what's driving this incredible amount of curiosity to do all of these things at once?
I think
because you don't have to.
The shared thing in anything I do is the curiosity to create something new.
Okay.
So when I studied animation and decided to study animation in 1999, 3D animation, in our region, there was no one working in that area. Even in the US, there was only 3 universities that I could find to study animation. So that curiosity what I do is when I see everybody walking in a certain direction, I like to choose the other path.
Fair enough. You're a contrarian.
Yes.
But do you have to do it all at once? Yani, because you're doing a lot of this all at the same time. Do you feel you're running out of time? I mean, you're a young person. Yani, what I'm trying to get at...
I mean, I find it naturally, you know, it's not that I feel I'm out of time or anything. It just comes in naturally. If I'm not in any creation process, I feel there's something missing.
But any of those... I'm sorry, I'm pushing back for a reason.
Go ahead.
Any of those... in and by themselves are all-consuming. Yani, I find, I wear multiple hats as well. Not quite as much. I don't have another day job.
Yeah.
This is my day job and night job. But I'm interested in other things. But there are many days where I find this, meaning the lighthouse, its development, etc., so consuming. Yani, so I'm trying to think, if you're doing 2 or 3 parallel tracks, there must be a huge amount of satisfaction that comes to you to balance out that level of being consumed by it. It's a lot of output.
True. I mean...
Or is maybe you're just a high achiever.
As I said, I enjoy the creation process. For me, whether it's burgers or whether it's high-tech technology that I work in, the feeling of achieving something new that someone has not seen, not heard of before, not tasted before, I think is the biggest...
thrill.
It's a good story for me. It's bigger than how much money we're doing or how much.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
And I think also with HiJoint, I always tell people, if suddenly tomorrow they say HiJoint is going to close down, bankrupt, and I come up with nothing and I haven't benefited anything, would you feel very sad? I would be like, no. I would, definitely.
But you...
You would want some financial outcome from something you're doing. But in the end, I always say, you know, for me, and let's say HiJoint specifically, when someone comes and tells me, wow. Or when they take the first bite and you see their expression on the face, especially when I saw a lot of people eat high jams, the one with the bacon jam. That makes my day, you know? And especially when I hear people talking about in the beginning when nobody knew. People, I think high joint till this very day is more famous than me myself. So when I attend any place with a lot of chefs and food, they 100%. Would know high joint, but they would not know me.
No, 100%. Which is nice.
So it was nice to hear what people say. It was nice to hear from people saying, Hamid, you're making us go bankrupt. And I'm like, why? It's like, our kids order high joint all the time, delivery. And what would be more fun is when Expo was running, and I would, as working in the police, we had days where we had to go to work there. Is seeing people walking with high joint and sitting down, bags. And they're like, oh, this is good, you know? And they don't know that I'm the owner sitting next to them, you know?
How do your children identify you as when they talk to their friends? Do they talk about high joint? Do they talk about their day job?
I think they're more excited about high joint.
Akid. It's also easier for them to relate to. Yeah. But I'm curious, do you see Baba as more of a high joint guy or policeman?
I think to them now, you know, I mean, even my wife. So my wife is at Mohammed bin Rashid University.
Okay.
And medical university. Okay. And she also does children's book and writes.
Amazing.
And she has more than 50 children's book published.
Is that right? Libraries. We should have her books stocked at the lighthouse.
It's all Arabic.
We have a lot of Arabic children's books.
So fantastic. So yeah. I'll make sure
please,
we send through.
Please.
So I think to them now, it's normal for people. I think they live now in a house where it's normal for people to do
multiple
more than
things.
One thing.
Isn't that fantastic? So, no pressure, kids.
That is what I think of it. I'm like, oh, we should make, I don't know. But to them, this is normal now. Yeah. You know? So I don't think they see it as, do I need to define this person as this or that, you know?
And I wanted to get to. I think that's wonderful, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I'm obviously myself a big believer in that. I had a finance career for 15 years before I pivoted into this. I still do a lot of investing. So I never thought it's one or the other. Now, I spend more time on this than that. But I always found it a bit confounding. And I think in the Middle East, because historically, traditionally, we've been more conservative compared to, say, an American system or so on and so forth. It's sort of, you know, one track. I think that's changing because our interests are multifold.
And then I guess even if you look at, for example, even if you look at my Instagram, I'll say I've written something where I love the merge of science and art. And then when I look at Da Vinci, for example, and others in the Renaissance period as well, where they were artists and scientists in the same time. And then when you look at people like Steve Jobs as well, Steve Jobs
100% polyglot
classes in design. And then he's affected, I think, in what I do in regards to technology as well as animation. Because
aesthetics and taste.
One of the major and the most important companies in history of 3D animation is Pixar.
I know.
And he's the one who changed and pivoted how Pixar works. So, and then he would not have reached to that level of understanding how to run a business if you didn't understand business, finance, art, technology, and all of that together. So to me, I don't see myself working in different fields. Even when I work in my government job, it's still in the art of creating something new, creating a sense of urgency for it. So even with burgers, it's a sense of FOMO and urgency that I need to eat this burger that everybody's eating. In the field of applying technologies in the security sector is you need to apply this technology to solve unsolvable crimes. And animation is all of that has kind of the same line, is creating something. I used to have a dilemma before, is like, Ahmed, who are you? Are you an animator? Are you an artist? Are you a police officer? Are you a cook? Are you a business owner? What are you? And then I discovered there's no shame of being
all of these things.
And as you grow, you start to understand what do you like, you know?
Yes.
That whole creation process of creating something that did not exist is what creates a huge, you know, drive for me. So creating high joint that did not exist and was not there. And I heard from people, I mean, big investors, when they were looking at one of the biggest operators pitching a certain burger brand to an agency, and when they put who are the main competitors for the burger market in Dubai, they would put Shake Shack, Five Guys, Salt, Pickle, and High Joint. And for me, from the humble beginnings of that small budget and having another job, and for us to be put in that line with those big names. Because 5-6 years ago, HiJoint wasn't no. 6 years ago, HiJoint wasn't there, and for it to be placed within that category drives me to create more stuff.
That's fine.
And that's what we want to do also with the Shawarma Place, even if that's not mine. I want it to be remembered as something that revolutionized shawarmas in Dubai.
Why do you think Dubai has succeeded in creating this environment for people like yourself and myself and many others, especially over the last, I would say, as you said earlier, 6-7 years? Because we launched Lighthouse 2017. And at all levels of F&B, from QSR all the way to fine dining, I could name you in 2016, 2017, maybe five names that were homegrown. Today, that number is, I mean, you know, Yani.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Many, many, right? Or maybe too many, but that's a different conversation altogether.
Yeah.
So clearly, the environment here has enabled this very successfully, more so than any other place in the Middle East over the last decade, let's call it that. Why do you think that is the case?
I think it's a very big question.
It is a very big question. That's why I'm asking.
And the answer might need, you know,
another
doing
podcast,
research, and then finding out.
But I think,
Dubai, over the years and historically, has always been a welcoming place for people from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different religions. And Sheikh Mohammed, I remember when I first looked into his book, My Vision, as a youngster. And then when he explains that what he wants for Dubai is to become like Cordoba.
Yeah.
Historically, where you had scientists, businessmen, artists.
All people, thriving.
Everyone there living from all around the world, coming to this place to live. And I think when you create a city like that and you have, I always say in Dubai, you'll find, it was funny, even during the peak of the Russian and West, the Western world.
Clash.
If you come to Jitex last year, not 2023, 2022, was very funny is to find Russians, Europeans, Americans, all in one place. As if nothing is happening.
Geeking out on technology.
Yeah, as if nothing is happening. Yeah. You'd find Chinese companies next to Russian, huge Russian companies, and a lot of American companies in between. So I think other than making business easy to run here in Dubai.
Which is a key component, by the
exactly,
way.
Exactly. I've opened in Saudi Arabia. I've tried to do business elsewhere. I'm not saying it's worse or better, but it's different.
100% more challenging, you can say that. It's not about worse or difficult, it's just more challenging. Yani,
exactly.
The ease of doing business, the lack of red tape is fundamentally key when most businesses like yours and mine are starting on shoestring budgets, and you have, you know, at most 100,000 to a couple of 100,000 dirham to launch a business. If you're going to spend half of it on red tape, no chance. Half the business wouldn't take off.
I agree. And then I think based on the demographics you have here in Dubai, makes it easy to launch. People here are accepting of new ideas, new food. Number one, that. Number two, tourism and the number of people and the traffic you have happening and the events that were happening has all helped us excel. And I think any country reaches to a maturity level. When I say in 2018, 17, with homegrown businesses are at a very low number, I think at that stage, Dubai's society and communities reach to a maturity level where they unintentionally maybe decided that we need to have homegrown businesses to eat at and have different experiences. I think people started to get fed up of franchises. When you go to any franchise, you don't get that unique personal experience. You get kind of something that's copy cut and placed here.
Yeah, you get the cookie cutter franchise experience.
Yeah, exactly. Which you can feel, even if nobody can name it specifically, but you can feel it and sense it. And then I think also, now we're going away from why Dubai is Dubai, but I think in that time, people loved supporting stories.
Yes.
And I'm a huge believer, even from books I've read in the past, is that a lot of companies that succeed have a story behind them. And I think the story you would feed people who come. So a lot of people, even though they would not talk about Hamid and HiJoint, have met me some way or the other, either online or in the restaurant. and they know the story behind it. So they would support such businesses.
This podcast has been invented simply to share these stories. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's the beauty of it. Genuinely, it's not about necessarily what Hydrojoint is today. It's about telling the story behind Hydrojoint, because I think people would love to hear the stories. And I think that's really the inspiring element. And what has happened. Thank you, Hamad. It's a story to stay with storytelling. We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see it in every corner, like you said. What is the plan for 2024? Where can we expect to see Hydrojoint next? Can you reveal?
I don't think I can reveal yet.
Okay.
But I think as a natural process of Hydrojoint growth, I mean, our brand in the beginning was about being in hidden locations. And I think that served the purpose of being a hole in the wall. I think Hydrojoint is no longer a hole in the wall. So
you're unhiding.
We're unhiding. Yeah, because we discovered, you know, whenever we're at a main event with a huge footfall, we'd be one of the highest performers. So we decided last year, our strategy going into 2024 is being in a lot of places.
So unhiding means Dubai Mall. It is the most unhidden location in Dubai.
Dubai Mall is a tricky place, by the way.
It is very tricky.
I've
very
heard
tricky.
Successful stories and I've heard failures.
You know,
it depends on where the location is.
Mazboot.
But I think anyone with a burger brand wants to be in Dubai Mall.
No. They're just the footfall, right? I mean, the footfall, you can't beat that. And I mean, we talked about this earlier. I still think Dubai Mall tends to be more tourist driven. So international names perform very strongly because a lot of people that don't know Dubai. For residents, I find people still go towards Mall of Emirates and maybe Dubai Hills.
Yeah, Dubai Hills is good,
But, you know, at the end of the day, you probably want to be in both. You know, and
the more the merrier.
We
try to keep some essence of the originality of the brand in there. And we've been avoiding malls all our life. But then there are certain locations where you want to be where people are, you know?
Yes.
We're a brand of the people, and our philosophy has always been very high quality food that you would not expect to find in fast food. So everything, so we do all the butchery internally, all the sauces are made on a daily basis, the bread is baked every single day. So that you don't expect from fast food places, but making it accessible to everybody. In Manara, you can come in pajamas, and the mall, while going to the cinema, maybe you can eat something somewhere else.
And being in the mall doesn't mean you have to follow the exact mold of everyone else in the mall. No, I mean, we're in Mall of the Emirates, and when we went there, people at the beginning were saying, how do you translate the brand there? We use the brand essence in a mall. Doesn't mean that we went with a boring look. Or you do your own translation.
True.
But Tawfiq, wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you for your time.
It's
a pleasure meeting you, and it was a pleasure talking to you here as well.
Inshallah. Thank you, Hamad. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on the Lighthouse Conversations. I'm Hashim Montasser, and we're produced by Chirag Desai. You can connect with us on Instagram at @thelighthouse_podcast for behind-the-scenes videos and more. Or visit us at thelighthouse.ae/podcast to listen to all our previous episodes.